Again, though, I must ask, what is this apology about? Our president has apologized. The former prime minister has apologized. He said, you know, if an apology is merited, then he apologized. My former colleague and friend, Stephen Lashley, you know, what exactly, and you're one who says that we need to apologize. Who exactly need to apologize and about what?
Yeah, but I'm assuming that's what your consultant told you.
Right? Okay. Yes, but that's exactly my point. My point is, how many more apologies do you want for this matter to go away? As a matter of fact, Peter, we spent an hour discussing 10 years ago. What I would really like us to do is spend some time discussing what's happening now.
But then we can because
what we did 10 years ago doesn't help the fact that there are people who are still calling me, asking me for assistance with bus fare and with lunch money. It doesn't help the fact that your narrative, and when I say your narrative, the government's narratives, speaks about the GDP and how well we're doing and our expected surplus of 600 million. But it doesn't address how we're going to go forward and have a growth strategy. It doesn't address how we're going to reduce the level of taxation that our people are being asked to bear at this point in time. So it doesn't address the fact that people are complaining that and the fact that their water bill is less than the sewage tax attached there too. It doesn't address these issues, and that's what I think we need to be discussing about.
Okay.
If the public wants an apology and you want an apology, then let's all apologize and move on to the more material issues, which is how do we move this country forward in the best interest of Barbadians?
Right. Simon.
Right. I just wanted to respond basically to some of the comments coming in on the internet, and the fact that from the comments you can see that people are still hurt and were quite discouraged with the performance of the last administration. However, as I'm here in the capacity looking to represent the way forward for the Democratic Labour Party, I would want Barbadians to understand that going forward, the Democratic Labour Party is quite understanding of the challenges that the public faced with its performance. And what we want to do is to make sure that in all of our strategies going forward, that they feel a part of the team. Leadership is important, but also performance is important. And more importantly is bringing the people into your confidence. I think that sometimes with leadership, it's very important that the people that you're leading have great confidence in your ability to communicate with them. And of course, to represent their best interest. And I know that right now it may seem as if the Democratic Labour Party is in the ashes and we're not going to rise again, but that's not true. I would want those hardcore DLP supporters to continue to support the party. And we would want going forward too that those persons hearing us today, in terms of your questions and some of the challenges you had, let us know, talk to us so that even as a party, as we go forward, we can better represent the interests of the people. That's the reason for being here on this program, to talk about the future of the Democratic Labour Party, to talk about where we want to go, and acknowledging, hey, we would have disappointed the people, but now we've said, you know what, we're going to represent you. We are a credible opposition, and of course, we'll become the credible government. That's what we want to talk about.
I have a WhatsApp message here. Morning, Peter, Simon, and others. Peter, I get a sense that Simon is a breath of fresh air, and I ought to wish him all the best in his endeavor. Tell him that he has to insist and ensure that he is part of the good combination, as they call it, with all the new faces and with others such as Nicholas Allen. You're Nicholas as well?
Nicholas, okay. Good young man.
Nicholas Allen, yes.
Okay. Oh, is this somebody else?
Yes.
Such as Nicholas Allen. The question is, will he be part of that combination or will he be in the political wilderness for a long time? And will they continue to blame Mia Motley for being a hands-on leader in contrast to the hands-off sleeping giant? But what use is a sleeping giant to anyone? Forget about the sleeping giant and just rebrand. And I think this one is speaking to me. Peter, you need to stop your behavior. You're diverting from the topic and your bias is showing. Everybody often has thought that I am biased. There's nothing new. Down to brass tacks. Good morning. Let's take a few calls and see what the callers have to say. Good morning and welcome. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air. Okay, let's get another caller. Good morning and welcome. Remember, this morning we are attempting to deal with the Democratic Labour Party in a broader context, trying to focus largely on the conversation in the studio, but we need to take a few calls as well. Good morning and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Yes, it's 12.
As I was saying, because I heard you repeat what you said, I want to make a comment rather than pose a question.
Sure, go right ahead.
And I guess you recognize my voice.
Oh, I do.
I've been listening to the program. I'll explain who I am later if you don't recognize the voice.
Hi, Maxine.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Maxine. And I've been listening to the program, and I'm very happy that you have had the program and that you perhaps are the one who's moderating the program. Because you have a clear understanding of things political.
Well, because I was a Dem? I thought it was because I was a Dem.
No, well, that too. And in your heart, you still are. But we ain't going into that. It's not about you today, nor. It isn't about Frondell Stewart either.
Okay.
Except say that you have been focusing on his presentation, which I think has evoked a lot of discussion. And therefore, if it was a question I had to pose to you, is why would you want to be provocative and ask the question about the future of the DLP under Frondell Stewart, a gentleman who has indicated that he has made his contribution to politics. We have a leader, a dynamic leader. You also are very familiar with the process by which leaders, whether it's the general secretary or the president or any member of the executive, is chosen. So I think we shouldn't get bogged down, although I know that Frondell Stewart, the name, and perhaps you need to bring him in the studio and you and him have a one-on-one.
He wouldn't come.
Red flag, but that is not what I call to say, because I think part of what I understood you to be saying in your opening comments, and forgive me if I was wrong because I didn't start writing my notes then, but you were looking as though we were focusing in having him speak to people. And remember, of course, that there was a time when Barbados said they didn't want to hear anything from any member of the DLP. And so timing is
right.
All.
I'm not sure that that's the case. But anyway.
Right? But the point is, if we are talking, I want to touch on several things, so I'm going to probably be all over the place. But
please be quick though, Maxine, because it's now 40 minutes past 12 and the board is full.
Let me just think about the need to apologize, and I think many of my colleagues have spoken to that, apart from the fact that they've indicated that many persons, including the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister himself, had apologized. But I would want to say that in the process of apologizing, we also need to set the record straight. And by setting the record straight, we have to explain what might have been deemed a failure. And if I start by simply listing some things, and we can come back to this, tourism. I recall high praise issued from my former university colleague and friend, Billy Griffith. But Billy Griffith was a member of a ministry, an agency which fell under the Ministry of Tourism. You talk about international business, I believe that Ryan touched on those things. The whole question of a social safety net being maintained. So I'm saying that there's an apology. I think people have touched on that. But at the end of the day, we also need to recognize that in terms of apologizing, we have to dissect and deconstruct all the issues so that we know what we're apologizing for. The last point I want to make, because I don't think I want to go on and on, because there's so much I can say. Mm-hmm. As I said, I also am a student and a teacher of strategic planning and strategic management. And one of the things we have to engage in when we are strategizing is that we have to be retrospective and prospective, so that it is important that people are able to answer the question, where are we and why we are there or why we were there, and we use that as a basis of going forward. So it's not an either-or situation, having had former Prime Minister speak to an event to set the record straight, and he made the point. I don't know if you would take the time to listen to the entire...
We need to go though, Maxine.
But I got to wrap it now.
Please.
That in doing that, what you were saying, he was speaking about things he said before. On the basis of that, the persons who are in the leadership position and who are strategizing to go forward will bring the prospective view, you know. And so to suggest that this is probably looking back only is not true. But we can talk another time.
Okay. All thanks right. A lot for calling, Maxine. We have a few more callers, and it is now 16 past 12. So let's see if we can get... to clear the board before we go to the news. Good morning and welcome. Good morning and welcome to the program. Can we have a quick intervention? Good morning. Yes, good morning and welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't hear the program from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But listening to what I heard so far and to the DLP over the past 2 weeks. Tomorrow is actually 21 months that I'm still administration in office. I think we're going to get the said results next election when it's held. They are in perpetual denial. They don't want to look back because you know why? It's hurtful to them. Now I heard Adrian Braffitt. He asked what they're going to apologize for. I would like to say to Adrian Braffitt, if to anybody who asked a silly question, to bring Barbados on the brink of destruction, economic destruction and chaos. He said they have not failed. They have failed miserably. They took the foreign reserves from $1.4 billion and lose $1 billion over the 10-year period. Brought it down to 4 years. $400 million. Looking in the face of a devaluation. I heard that some guy here in the studio, play by night, don't know what he's saying. The benchmark. They're benchmarked that are, everything don't have to be a law. There are some benchmarks that's exactly critical. You drive your vehicle on E, drive it about the whole day. Drive it, then don't put the gas in it. See what will happen. High blood pressure, the same thing. There are some benchmarks that you have to be observant of. In the case of foreign reserves too low, when your foreign reserves get too under the 10 benchmark, the IMF and the rating agencies said it's no longer profitable to protect the 2-to-1 dollar parity. The dollar would have been devalued, my man. Okay. It's clear that these guys don't know what they're saying. That Barbados ended up debating it.
Statsman, thanks for the intervention. I'm trying to get as many as possible in. I have one here that I need to read to you. It comes from a Philippine of some note. His name is Rudon Aversley, and he says, Peter, you need to tell my erstwhile political comrade, Adriel, also Dan, that they must put on sackcloth and rub ashes on their forehead and stand beside the Arabara statue for 7 straight days and shout in unison at the top of their voices, mea culpa, mea culpa. As for the youngster, as for the youngster who talked painfully about who gets the message out first, tell him that politics is largely an exercise in communication. An election campaign is a fierce battle of messages. Doesn't the Democratic Labour Party, doesn't the present DLP understand that? So that is a message coming from one of your colleagues, Adriel. He just wanted to read that. Let me see if I can get a few more calls in. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning.
Hello, hi. This is Steve Black. I just want to just join the conversation.
Morning, Steve.
And appeal to my colleagues.
Church is over?
I never told you I was going to church this morning. I'm a devout church goer, but I didn't say I was going to church.
Oh, so why you didn't come then?
I stated it in my reply to you, my response to you in my text messaging. Did
okay.
you see it?
I did, yeah. I just thought that this was cover for court for saying that you had to go to church.
No, not this morning.
Okay.
But I want to let my colleagues know in the studio that if we started to apologize today and go right into 365 days hence, some members of the Barbados Labour Party and some members of the public will not accept our apology. Don't care what we say. What we have to do, I mean, we have stated before that several members of our party's leadership, they have already apologized. I like the question that Adriel asked, then that what should be apologized for? But maybe there are things that the Barbadian public are expecting us to apologize for. But we apologized over and over. But certain members of the public, especially members of the Barbados Labour Party, and those of our detractors, will never hear our apology. But see what we have to juxtapose that apology with. And if there's apology is forthcoming, then let it be forthcoming. But we have to juxtapose that apology with the outstanding social policy of the last Democratic Labour Party administration, of which I was a proud member. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at our building record, man. We had an outstanding house building record that cannot maybe equal but not eclipsed.
So basically, the people of Barbados made the wrong decision then in 2013, 2018.
You're not putting words in my mouth, Peter. I'm not saying.
But I'm asking a question. Did we or did we not make a mistake?
The will of the electorate is the will of God. Okay. If the people thought at the time, in 2018, that we were not fit to run this country, so be it. We accept. Right. The decision. But must look at our record, because we were not sitting in government headquarters twiddling our thumbs and doing nothing. We were attending to the social welfare of this country, establishing sixth form schools, revolutionizing nursery school education, introducing the ELPA, the Electric Plant Light and Power Act that Adriel was instrumental in bringing to the House of Assembly, which ushered in the alternative energy sector. Cultural industries, man.
No problem. I want to thank you, Steve, for calling. I want to also make some room on the agenda. I understand that a gentleman that goes by the name of Eki Beki is waiting in line to get onto the program. So I would particularly want to ask that you make space for him so that he can also make his contribution. He's one of our more valued DLP callers.
Okay.
Dr. Brastas, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, morning.
Good morning.
I'm great. It's a good Sunday. It's always good to be in the company of Dems. Morning, sir. Go right ahead, please.
Yes. Peter?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Mr. Bruffett made a statement earlier where he said that Mrs. Short was using a different strategy of governance apart from the other prime ministers and this present one. And that he was allowing the ministers and cabinet to do and to say and representing the ministries. Unfortunately, I believe it went way back. It went back from the time that they had the Eagle 11. So it didn't, the strategy that he was using, he was forced into that corner because he was always threatened to be actually overthrown within that party. The second thing I want to touch on, maybe Miss Sandra Garner. She said that she is some person to deal with the women's rights and this type of thing internationally. But I would like to tell her this. When she was on the platform, when the Democratic Labor Party people were lambasting Mayor Motley, had she gotten up and walked off of that stage, a lot of people would have thought very highly about her, and women would have been following her. But it seemed as though it was only the opportunity that she wanted to ask me about the legislation pertaining to sexual harassment in the workplace. And you want to know which master she was really serving, because it was that alone in the latter stages of the administration, despite the fact that they were doing so good, but still extended the time to 90 days. I want to know what was the reason for that. What was the reason for renewing contracts 18 months before, and they were doing such a good job?
Okay. All right, sir. Thanks a lot. Let's see if we can get another call in. We have 5 minutes remaining before the latest news, and we need to get another call in or two before we go. Good afternoon or welcome.
Good morning, Peter and panel.
Good afternoon. And decided it's so lovely to hear you.
Yes, nice to hear me. Look, Peter, this program...
You're loving it, no?
No, because you set up a lot of these callers.
What I you set up a body. Miss Andy, say it where you believe that I am that type of person.
You paying people credit, Peter?
I set up the panel. That's why I set up. I brought in the panel. Yes, ma'am.
Hitting that the DLP is not going to solve the problems in Barbados, though. Uh-huh. We have problems. We want to hear about some laws, the NIS building, how much money is being paid to demolish that. We want to hear about all beautiful beaches that just now we'll be building in Seymour. We want to hear all about these things, not just getting the callers to hit at the DLP.
Is Mia that bring the Seymour?
No, we will be building in Seymour because we ain't got no part to go and be in the clear water. And another thing, we have to look at our crime. You hear what happened last night? A visitor was shot last night. That is things that we have to deal with in the country, not to just hit at the DLP. Mm-hmm. That past, we looking at the present, look at them things that are going on in the country now.
All right,
Mr. Undecided, thank you for calling. It's really good to hear from you because you don't call me much these days, so it's good to hear your voice. The love is still strong, don't worry, even though you don't have any use for me. Brass Stocks, can we get one last call in before we go to the latest? Yeah, go right ahead, please. Go right ahead, last caller. We are good. Good afternoon and welcome to the program. All right, let's try another one. Good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Right.
Hi, afternoon, ma'am. Please be quick in making your intervention.
Okay, what I'm trying to say is that I am currently a student.
Mm-hmm.
At my school, the school attendance has dropped from 40 students in a class to 15 students in a class because students cannot afford to come to school anymore. We go from paying $2 to $3.50. Some students have to pay $21 a day just to get school, and they cannot make it.
What kind of school this is? They don't get free bus fare?
No, we go to BCC Community College. So the problem we're having is that the government say that they're looking out for young people and they're trying to help the young people. But what they're doing is not helping us. When you raise bus fares so drastically, how are students expected to get school? We have students now walking from town to school just to get on campus to afford to be able to come to school.
This is the community college?
Yeah, this is the community college. We also have students who are coming who have to decide how much days a week they can't afford to come to school because they can't just afford to get to school. When you have to pay $21 a day to attend school, how can you say that our educational system is so free because it isn't free because you can't get there?
$21 by taxi?
No, $21 a day by bus because they have to catch 3 buses to get there and then they have to catch 3 buses to get home.
Where do they live?
So we have students coming from St. Lucie. When you come from St. Lucie, you have to catch a bus from St. Lucie to Spikestone. Mm-hmm. You have to catch a bus from Spikestone to town, then BCC.
There's no bus from St. Lucie to town?
No, the bus system is terrible.
Okay. Right? All right. All right, that certainly is a lot for the panel to chew on, and I'm sure they'll be happy to give their response to scenarios like that, and certainly an important point that needs to be made in all of this. We are discussing the Democratic Labour Party today, the future of the DLP, the triumphant return of Prime Minister Frondeau Stewart to the platform, I should say. And we are the distinguished panel, distinguished company of four Dems, two future and two past. We take a break at this point and we go to the latest news. We should be back with you in about 5 minutes, very short break, and we continue our conversation. We give the panelists the opportunity to respond at that point.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to Sunday Brass Stocks. And this Sunday, we are talking DLP politics, and I'm in the distinguished company of four Dems that are all well known to you, Ms. Irene Sandifer-Garner, Mr. Adriel Brathwaite, Mr. Ryan Walters, and Mr. Simon Aline, who have presented themselves as future candidates. Ryan is interested in Northwest. Simon is interested in St. Philip North, as I understand it. Interesting choice of seats, and the other two panelists have indicated that they're not interested in elective politics any further. Ladies and gentlemen, you have had a diet of calls and people who have raised issues. It is now your opportunity to respond, and I think we can probably do a sweep, go from the right to the left, and then we will take another round of calls. So Irene, your response to what you just heard.
I don't even know where to start. What comes
the beginning is a good place.
No, let me think of what was top of mind, and that was the comment about 68 cents in every dollar that was paid during the past administration. And the former Prime Minister addressed that also in his speech. And I wanted to ask the caller at the time, if he's aware that we pay more in taxes now than we've ever paid in every dollar. So I don't know what dollar he was speaking about, which dollar he was referring to, because we are talking now about a situation where the Barbadians would have seen a reduction in payment of income tax. Let me take that example. And the reverse tax credit raise. But then you just heard the young lady speak about bus fare, the increase in user fees, the postal fees, road tax on fuel, bank fees, don't forget them. Inflation. We have seen a suite of taxes, and direct and indirect, that leads you to understand, an economist, because I only did in my MBA course, I never did it before. But an established economist stated 2 weeks ago that Barbadians are paying more taxes now than they've ever paid in the history of this country. So again, the propaganda that we have had to listen to this morning, that we cannot address effectively because the program is supposedly not about what is happening on the economic front, but it still leads one to understand why the former prime minister had to come to Barbadians and explain again what we would have done and how we did it.
Former Attorney General.
Peter, I used to say that one of the things that I had to do as a politician was to try to reach as many people as possible, in particular the poor and the disadvantaged. I saw myself, I still see myself as a social democrat, shall I say. Our mandate should be to ensure that the poor, the downtrodden, that we become their voices and we make their lives easier. If that's what we are supposed to apologize for, then I will never apologize for my efforts during my stewardship to improve the lives of the ordinary man and woman in Barbados. As a matter of fact, we had a situation where everyone noted that in fact, for the first time in our history, labor in the private sector got together and marched against the dreaded NSRL, for example, that 17.5%. But you ask anyone in Barbados whether or not with the removal of the NSRL, whether prices came down this country, and they will tell you no. Mm-hmm. But what happened is that labor continues to suffer, but the private sector not only continue to enhance themselves, but had a windfall in terms of a reduction of corporate tax. So that to me is one of the issues that we need to address in terms of what happened between 2016 and 17 in terms of labor and the private sector, that union against a government that was seen to be too socialist. Again, I say I don't think we need to apologize for that. But now we have a situation where in 2020, everyone is silent. Labor is silent. The private sector is silent, except for when they announce enhanced profits. Right? Everything is quiet. So we can assume that either all is well in this country, but I think the caller just before the break will tell you that all isn't well in many aspects of this country, or, as I am hearing from time to time, that persons are less inclined to speak because they fear the consequences. And as I said earlier, but not even the ministers are speaking. But we are supposed to assume that all is well in this country. So we have someone gunned down outside a school with school children around. And we don't have a discourse in this country in terms of what's happening in our school system, what's happening in terms of crime. And instead, what we hear is that we need to address crime from a regional perspective, another big offering from our prime minister. But that's always been the case. And in fact, I dare say that one of our biggest challenges in terms of the issue of crime from a regional perspective, and if the prime minister, as head of CARICOM, president head of CARICOM, can do anything, it is that CARICOM prime ministers speak and don't do what they're supposed to do. Our most significant entity in terms of addressing crime and security issues, which is IMPACT, Implementation Agency for Crime and Security, even today, struggle to pay wages, struggle to implement any serious strategies. So you can go ahead and you can have as many conferences in April in Trinidad as you want. But at the end of the day, unless we as a region put our money where our mouths are so that people can actually implement meaningful strategies, then we're going to continue this downfall. The same thing in Barbados. We are not seriously addressing criminal issues, what are driving our young people to criminal behavior in this country. We talk about the number of murders, and yes, it concerns all of us. But we don't have to wait until a tourist is shot in Barbados, because we're seeing them more and more in our communities. So we know at some point in time we're going to have negative headlines, which would have more of an impact on our country, more of a negative impact on our country. But we need to stop paying lip service. And I used to say to the present Attorney General that I was always saddened that even initiatives that he knew very well, that were well-meaning, well thought out, he criticized. I mean, even the police station across that he opened a couple of days ago, he thought it was too lavish to police officers. Well, if I'd taken that position, there is no way I would have gone and opened it. But the party that I was part of, the government I was part of, and you know, I used to say that I am a policeman attorney general because my father was a police officer. We didn't think that the facility was too lavish to police officers. And that's why I say to you that in fact, that rather than spend time talking about the past, I sincerely hope that you can invite us back. So we can spend some time talking about the future.
No problem.
Because that's what's most important as far as I'm concerned.
Ryan, you had an intervention. Bear in mind that we're running out of time very quickly.
Peter, I think it's clear how the Barbadian public views the Democratic Party and what they expect. I got involved in politics to be part of the future. And I think that the party is in a position where, although it might not sound so holistically, they understand and they know what they have to do. We have already started the process of making some of those changes. And I am very enthusiastic in terms of going forward with the new ideologies, new philosophies, communicating better, being in touch with the people, and not losing sight of making sure that the constituents are the most important part of any governance system.
Correct.
Simon, before I go to you, I want to read a WhatsApp message, which I think is particularly relevant. And it says, Peter, I'm with the Democratic Labour Party due to their philosophy. I hold them challenged, and the challenge is in a country where people pretend to have a history other than what is on record creates an immense complication for them. Theirs will be a daunting job. I hope that these ministers who mess up a party's good reputation by not being ideal in their duties will help in the background to support a new team. Whether politicians are good or bad, I believe they start off with honorable intentions, and I would cut them some slack unless there are unethical things that are being proven. The new team, who, to the best of my observation, adheres to the DLP philosophy, should not have to suffer because of wrongdoing by a few in the past. If that was the case, the BLP would have had to be made to suffer as well. Thank you. Beijers use their brains and know how to confront your history and find your objective spirits. Do not let someone write a message for you into your psyche that cannot be adequately justified with an easy conscience. Simon, you get the last word at this point before we go back to the phones.
Right. I just wanted to basically respond to the last caller when she was talking about the bus fares and being it hard for her to get to school. And the thing about it is that the Democratic Labour Party has always been a party that takes care of the needs of the people, with the whole philosophy of being kind of a socialist democratic party. And the fact that, you know, even when we think about the late Prime Minister David Thompson, who would have had the vision of having free bus fares for the students. I know some people didn't like it, but it would have accommodated those young people who wouldn't have had the means to make it to school. But that being said, we talk about being a political party of the future. One of the things of being a political party of the future is listening to the people and anticipating needs and looking towards a vision to moving Barbados forward. And I believe that the Democratic Labour Party has that. And that's why I am a part of this party, and to move the agenda forward for the people. And I think that's very important, because when we think about how some people are struggling in society today, it's not very easy. And we talk about taxation and the cost of living going up. People are being affected, and that's why they want a party that they can identify with, that would, of course, speak to their issues and make sure that their voice is heard. Because we don't want it just to be the voice of the money classes, but we want to make sure that the development of Barbados is holistic for all persons.
I have to ask two questions, even though we only have like 10 minutes remaining. The first one is, I want to ask Adriel, as a member of the previous administration, if in all good conscience you can say that you think that Barbados was better managed in the previous 2 years than it is being managed in the past 2 years. So the last 2 years before the election, do you think the management of Barbados was superior to that which we've experienced in the 2 years since the election? And then I want to ask Irene to tell me if she is happy about the current state of the Democratic Labour Party regarding its preparedness for the next election, bearing in mind that if the government, current government, were to collapse tomorrow and there was an election called, the Democratic Labour Party does not have a single candidate declared. So I want, if you could answer those two questions quickly. First, Adriel, and then we can go to Irene, and then I'll go back to the callers, because there are quite a few that are getting angry with me about not being able to get on the program.
Not being very versed in economics and matters related there to Peter, I think based on what I've been reading, it is difficult to argue that in fact that Barbados isn't on the right track economically. My challenge, however, remains whether or not this translates or has been translated effectively into an improved life for the ordinary man and woman. And that's exactly what politics is supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm. That's a reasonable response.
Right. So you have your, I said it earlier.
I can ask
so you that. Speak about your GDP improving, mm-hmm. your balance of payments improving, your surplus, $600 million surplus, etc. But yet you heard that young lady call and say about students not being able to get to school.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You returned university, free university education. I don't have a problem with that. That's your philosophy and stuff. But most of the issues that we have in terms of our educational system are at the bottom, or at the junior and secondary level. So if we're going to spend money on education, that's where we should be spending money as far as I'm concerned. More money needs to be placed in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Are our surpluses that we are seeing and hearing about translating into any difference in the lives of our junior school and our secondary school students? From what I am hearing and seeing, the answer is no. Because some of them not being able to go to school because of the cost of going to school. And that's where we've always differed in terms of the philosophies of our two parties. As I said to you earlier, I consider myself to be a social democrat. In other words, my remit is, how do I improve the lives of the ordinary man and woman in particular? And if you have all these surpluses, and if you brag about how well you're doing economically, and persons feel disadvantaged, so a youngster decides, well, rather than go to school, he's happier on the block. And I see nothing wrong with going with an adult to shoot someone. Then we're going backwards as a country. So it doesn't matter the economic gains that we have if we can't get the fundamentals right. Okay. And we're going in the wrong direction.
Irene, readiness of a Democratic Labour Party. Election call in 30 days. Is the DLP ready?
The DLP is in the process of nominating its candidates. We actively in that process. I know that you are anxious that we regain the government, and we want to set your heart at ease. We have, I know, I understand. So as an empathetic human being that I am, I will share with you that during this retreat, we would have discussed the change to the nomination process. So the reason why we are taking so long is because the nomination process has been handed to the branches. Previously, the executive and general councils of the party would have read the letters, and we would have voted in house in George Street. And I hear you with it often enough to understand that you need an explanation and you need to be comforted. So what we have done, the policy of nomination changed and was ratified at the last annual conference. Here's how it goes. You, Peter Wickham, would wish to run for
St. John.
St. John. You write the Democratic Labour Party branch in St. John. The chairman of St. John will allow the branch to know that Peter Wickham wants to run. The branches are charged with establishing committees to interview all candidates who would wish to run. And that has many reasons. But when they interview you, they then, through the process, decide who would have done well in the interview. They submit the information to executive and general counsel, and I'm just running through it because we don't have a lot of time. But the fact is, we have democratized the selection process so that branches have a say in who will be their candidate in the next election. It then comes to the committees of general counsel and executive. And when it gets there, then you have the discussion and the vote. But it is now a broader or more democratic process. So it's not a situation where somebody likes somebody and they nominate them. And the reason for that is this. We think that we are at the stage now where we can be more creative, as was said by Adrian Green a couple of weeks ago at the lunchtime lecture, which I would wish you would come and do one also. I will be your security. And he said that the Democratic Labour Party has the perfect opportunity now to be creative and to get back to basics and to get back to our foundation philosophy. And the word Sankofa was mentioned during the discussion. And Sankofa in Twi in Ghana means it is not wrong to go back to that which you have forgotten. We understand that the Barbadians are disappointed with us. The 30-0 result tells you that they're disappointed. We have to be able now to get back to our basic principles and our philosophies, the basic tenets of the social welfare party that we always have been, no matter the fact that, as our colleague said, the merchant class said, and the former prime minister said it, that we are too socialist. We are for the people. We need to remind people that we are for the people and act in that way. Mm. And we have to have the correct candidates who will get up there on the ground and win back the hearts of Barbadians sincerely.
True.
Well, I have to remind you that the program is brought to you with the compliments of Williams Industries. We have it all. Angles, flats, cement
and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more. Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form play for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back. Quick response from Adriel Bastard regarding candidate selection.
Yep. Peter,
it's not to tell us that you're going to be a candidate.
I hear you consistently saying no. I hear you consistently saying that we need to name our candidates, etc. Mm-hmm. But the party knows my position in terms of encouraging candidates at this point in time to be named. In other words, Simon goes into St. Philip North as the candidate. There are certain expectations immediately.
True.
And I fear that we're going to expose our young people to a situation where financially and otherwise, they will not be able to make the kind of difference in people's lives that they would want immediately. And that's my biggest concern. That in fact, that our young people, and I say to Simon and I say to Ryan, go into the constituency, get yourself known, try to make a difference. But you do not have to be named a candidate immediately because Peter Wickham and some others say that we need to have our slate.
Clearly, we disagree.
but you've never been a candidate, Peter. You've never been a candidate.
My role as a political advisor in this regard is irrelevant because it clearly means nothing that I have worked in this capacity all across the region. And I genuinely think that it is in DLP's interest to get the party in shape. Because if the government is, as you said, on the verge of collapse, you need to be in a position to take it over.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to name 30 candidates today. I mean, look,
even last
election, we had persons who were interested, but because of the positions that they held, they said, please do not name me now.
No, I understand.
Because my family's future, my personal future may be jeopardized.
I understand, and I also appreciate that the environment creates challenges where people are asking you for stuff and you can't deliver at this point in time. But I also hasten to add, and this is the same advice I would have given to the NDP, NDC in Grenada when they were in this situation. Look, when you are in a situation where you have no seats, it is very different in terms of people's expectations. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason where you have the luxury, as Adrian said at the thing, you have the luxury of being creative in terms of a team and pulling every and anyone that you need on board, all of the talent that you need, you can pull it on board in terms of shaping your future because expectations are at an all-time low. And I don't know that one would expect a person like Ryan, for example, to be in a position to give in the way that a minister would have been in a position to give. But anyhow, that's a personal view I hold. But I do appreciate and respect the fact that you disagree. I want to get a few more calls in, though, because it's now 12:58. We have 15 minutes remaining, and let's see if we can get as many calls in at this point in time. Good afternoon and welcome. The board is completely full again. Good afternoon, good welcome. Afternoon. Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It is very refreshing to hear my comrades from the Democrat Labor Party speaking, and I just want to encourage all of you, comrades, Irene, others, to be on there even more regular, not only in the weekend time, but also would like to hear you all join the week as well. Right? I just want to concur with what Comrade Irene said. Basically, we always have this mantra that we are more than an economy, we are also a society. And that stays true to the forms and principles of the Democratic Labour Party. It was founded by our late leader, Errol Walton Barrow, and then his successor, David Thompson. We see an upsurge in crime. They mocked us, they scoffed at us when David Thompson himself preached about crime and violence. And what is happening now? Is it any better? Have they done anything? No. We just had a recent shooting here, as I heard in the news. I'm saying that to say this. People are in a hustle, as Comrade Adriel just said, for candidates and what have you. Candidates know, and I appreciate, and I love the fact that what our great president, Verla de Prisa, has done, along with Comrade Irene Garner, is that we vet all of them. We take our time, we select them. I also agree with Adriel that, you know, you need to get out there in the community. People have been obvious, made their voices heard. They were disappointed in certain aspects and how we went about things. But people have to also understand when one is in a position that the country was basically in a financial shock, as our former leader, Farnell Stewart, said. You know, you had to make certain decisions were made that were not obviously popular with everyone. I take you back briefly because I know you have a lot of callers on the
line. Yeah, please be very brief, sir.
No problem. I remember when former Prime Minister Erskine Sir Lloyd Stafford was in office. He had then to make then decisions that were not popular with a lot of people when he used the term about tightening the belt. And when all was said and done, it was worth tightening the belt. We've been paying more taxes here and there, and all kinds of things seem to be going wrong. I just want to continue to encourage the Democratic Labour Party going forward and all the young people in the party. Comrade Kemar Stewart and Comrade Walters.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling, sir. We'll ask the panel to respond to your comments shortly. And let's take another call and say good afternoon and welcome to Brasstalk Sunday. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're on the air. Go right ahead, please.
Sir, any panel?
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah. My concern is this is a BLP-DLP race, right? I want to know if the DLP then sit down waiting for time, right? Don't they have a strategic plan in place for the short term and long term goals to carry Barbados forward? And if so, what are their plans? The second thing is, what are their intentions for international trade and business, as well as the social problems, and how they will turn the economy around and keep the finances safe?
Okay. Mm. Excellent questions, ma'am, and I'm anxious to get those questions to the panel along with others. They're making copious notes. So let's say good afternoon and welcome to the next caller.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Please go right ahead.
But I have called today out of a real sense of...
You called to assure us that you're not abused.
Well, yes, that's true, of course.
I know your parents very well, so I know that's not the case. Yeah.
But I have called out of a real sense of bemusement, to use Mr. Sanders and Garner's word, as to the Democratic Labour Party. They've suddenly realized that there are pressing issues to be dealt with. And they're telling us all about not looking to the past, we're going to look to the future now. But of course, as has been mentioned, in Waterford, Ms. Sandford-Garney didn't realize that at that time we had more pressing matters to deal with than the cult of Motley, in her words, or the carpetbaggers, as she told a meeting, I believe it was in St. Peter, about carpetbaggers. She didn't realize that then, and the Prime Minister didn't realize at the time when he spoke about mice having balls and mice having no balls, but beyond that, the Democratic Labour Party has got to understand that they will not come back to the reins of government in this country until they really actually begin to understand why it is that they lost. And they lost, yes, because of how they were, because of the frequency that they were communicating, but also how they were communicating with people in this country. That is why they lost. They lost because when the present administration laid off workers, they did it in a far more sensitive way than a prime minister who told people that temporary means temporary. When the Democratic Labour Party deported Guyanese people in this country all these years ago, ever so welcome, wait for a call. When Prime Minister Sandiford spoke about liking it or lumping it. When Stuart spoke about the transitory inconvenience of potholes and the fact that sewage is on the streets in France and elsewhere too, those are the problems that the Democratic Labour Party has had, and those are the things for which they must apologise, because they dug us into. I accept that there were vast problems that they had to contend with. I accept that. As every government has had to do, but governments are defined by the challenges that they are presented with and how they manage them. Mm-hmm. Because invariably, Mr. Sinclair would get up every budget and say that this homegrown plan, the 17th one, is working well. Of course, we know that that was not true. When downgrade after downgrade, so all of these things, it's really and truly a Trumpian effort to distract people. It is a feeble attempt to pretend that what we know to be the reality of what happened is not the reality.
Okay. Khalil, thank you for your contribution and intervention. We're going to try to see if we can get a few other calls in. I see one more on the board, I believe. Two more. Okay. Good afternoon and welcome.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm good.
And to your panel.
Yeah, good.
Normally, I don't come on the standard program because the others will be home or we just compete for the phone. But with
church?
The distinguished panel that you have, I had to come and say a few words.
Mm-hmm.
My first suggestion, Mr. Wickham.
You're speaking to them, not me.
No, this is for you. The name of the program is the call-in program. So I would suggest that you stop.
All right, Straker, we're not engaging you in this nonsense today. This is the program. This is what it is. This is Sunday Brass Talks. We set the format. Can you make a contribution to the panel, please? Or alternatively, you're coming off the air.
Let me say this.
Quickly.
There is a mantra that the grass is always look greener on the other side. There were also some other mantras that were sung on the other side of election. One was, you cannot tax your way out of recession. And you know all too well who the choir master was. There also was another mantra, the cabinet should be down to 12, and a follow-up one that it should be down to 10. And you know who was singing those mantras? People expected that any change, the taxes would have been either the same or reduced, and the cabinet would definitely be reduced. Now, those mantras haven't been sung in recent times.
It's a different tune.
But I know you know who was singing them.
All right.
And
All right. Thanks a lot, Mr. Strakers Tenantry. The panel will respond shortly. We have one final call for the day. Good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. And final contribution.
You and your panel, and I must say my comrades. Mm-hmm. One of the things that have always peeved me over the years in Barbados is how the Democratic Labour Party treated women. I have heard Ms. Sandy for the Garner, I should say, give her title. She read out some of the achievements and of the Democratic Labour Party towards women over the years. But I wish to say, I know a lot of us don't like to go back, only when it suits us. What about the days, and I went around long enough to know this, when single women were suffering in this country, that their children could not have gotten, even if they were as bright as a 10-cent piece, they could not have gotten to secondary school, at least we would call the secondary schools of high of those days, because they couldn't pay. It happened in my own family. They couldn't pay. They couldn't pay the $24 a quarter. But free secondary education came along. And a lot of parents were single in those days, and they were mothers. They couldn't pay. My mother, for example, was a seamstress. She couldn't pay the fees for my brother.
Can you bring the contribution to a close quickly, because we're almost out of time, and I want the panel to have the opportunity to respond. Please go ahead quickly, sir.
Well, I had quite a few things, but I got in late. I just wanted to say something else in terms of the corporation tax, because I'm looking at a statement issued by one of our banks on November 9th, 2019, in terms of what their gains were from the reduction in corporation tax.
Okay.
And it was $27 million. Mm-hmm. $27 million. That is what the gains were. And that's only one bank. $28.71 million added to their profits. Now, in India, their corporation tax is reduced from 30% to 20%. Okay. We bring it from 30% all down to between 1% and 5%. But anyway, I just want to get in that. And there's something that the guy there mentioned just now.
Quickly, sir.
He was totally incorrect, but I realized they're out of time, and I give my comrades time to respond.
Thank you so much for calling, sir. And I want to thank all of the other people who contributed. Of course, the Sunday format is slightly different. We focus more on the panel. And we had a very distinguished panel today. I think I said enough in terms of my own opening remarks, and I wanted at this point to give the panelists the opportunity to have the last word. We start from the left initially, so we start from the right now. We will go first with Simon. You have 5 minutes remaining. Well, all of you have 5 minutes remaining, so just your views, the calls that you've heard, the comments, the concerns, and your position going forward.
Right, well, basically, from the calls that I would have heard, it is clear that there's a need for the Democratic Labour Party based on what I am hearing. The fact that there are some complaints about the cost of living in Barbados, the fact that it appears that the whole high levels of taxation are affecting the public. And clearly the Democratic Labour Party, I believe, has the know-how to get things back on track for Barbados. I am of that opinion. I also want to assure the public that the Democratic Labour Party is listening. We have learned from our mistakes, our missteps, if you want to say that. And we will be fielding a team, a really responsive and good team to represent your interests. As Adrian Green would have said at the lunchtime lecture that, you know, when we are at the ultimate position right now, the opportune time to rebrand and to redirect all of our energies to taking the Democratic Labour Party to the next level. So it's important then that we learn from the mistakes of the past and move forward. And we can only do it with the support of the public. And we're going to try our best to be the party that people need and to become the opposition and then the government that would best represent the interests of Barbados.
Okay. Ryan?
Yeah, so I think from this session today, Peter, although there have been some difference of opinions, the Democratic Labour Party is sorry for some of the things that the populace is concerned about.
Of course.
I don't think we could actually be able to apologize for everything, and in some instances I believe that they're looking for specific people to do some apologies.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can say is that, by and large, we are sorry, and we are looking for the future.
Yes.
We, as Irene said, we've started the candidate selection, and that is going pretty well, and I look forward to being part of that team that will take Democratic Labour Party forward.
Okay. So Adrian Brathwaite, are sackcloth and ashes on the horizon for
Peter, for the record, I do not take that gentleman seriously. And he claims to be a political scientist, and I'm not sure consultant to whom. Well, I will leave him alone.
What I do wish to say,
Peter, is to thank you and thank Barbadians for having us in yes. their homes, in particular thank mm-hmm. the Democratic Labour Party supporters. I would like, Peter, for you to invite me back sometime in the not too distant future, because there's so many things that we can talk about. Education, international business, right. tourism, energy, mm-hmm. crime and security. To let you know and let Barbadians know what we did. And so you can see what's happening in 2020. And maybe invite someone from the Barbados Labour Party so we can have a serious discussion in terms of whether or not they have made a difference in people's lives over the last 2 years on a daily basis, notwithstanding whatever credit we'll give them for the state of the economy. Let me give you a good illustration, Peter. Because we speak, for example, of transparency. They spoke a lot about transparency. There's a building behind us being knocked down. And I am told that the Prime Minister said it was tendered. But yet I am hearing that, in fact, that there was no tender process. Right? These are the kind of things that we need to speak about. And I really want to ask the question, are we better off as a country today than we were in 2018?
Irene Sander for Ghana, final word.
Final word is thank you, Peter, and thank you, VOB, for having us here. I know that we have assuaged your worries in terms of our future, and we will continue to do so. We are working desperately and feverishly to ensure that we have the correct candidates going forward for the new DLP slate. We understand what we have done. I think that Ryan would have articulated it very clearly in that whatever we have done, we are apologizing for, and you will see it in our actions going forward. I don't know that any more words can assuage the people of Barbados. We will act accordingly to ensure that the 64-year-old Democratic Labour Party that we are continues to be the party of the people, for the people of Barbados, and the party that will rescue the people of Barbados from this trap that they're in today.
Well, of course, the issue as to rescue our success is one that will be determined by the people. My role today was to present the opportunity for discussion on the Democratic Labour Party and discussion on the contribution that was made by former Prime Minister Frondo Stewart last week. And I'm happy that the panel was willing to join me to engage in this conversation. I think it was fruitful for the most part, and I think that the callers, based on what I'm seeing, enjoy the conversation and look forward to hearing more from the Democratic Labour Party in the future. Special thanks also to the producer, Mr. Dennis Johnson, and also to Mr. Sanka Price for his confidence in having me do today's program in his place. We'll be back with you, of course, tomorrow. I will be with you on Tuesday for more conversations on Down to Brass Tacks. So you do have a great Sunday. Enjoy your Sunday lunch and take care. We'll see you back tomorrow.